Imagine composing your life's masterpiece while awaiting execution. This was the reality for Boethius, a 6th-century Roman statesman and philosopher who found himself imprisoned on false charges of treason. In the cold darkness of his cell, without books or resources, he created The Consolation of Philosophy, a profound dialogue between himself and Lady Philosophy, who appears as a majestic woman to guide him from despair to wisdom. What makes this work remarkable isn't just its origin story, but its enduring relevance. For 15 centuries, this prison literature has comforted readers facing life's inevitable setbacks. From medieval kings to Renaissance scholars, countless minds have turned to Boethius when fortune's wheel turned against them. Why? Because the fundamental questions he wrestles with are timeless. Why do good people suffer? What constitutes true happiness? How can we find meaning when everything we value is stripped away? His answers, woven through elegant prose and poetry, offer wisdom that transcends his specific tragedy to illuminate universal human experience. "Why do you attack me with daily complaints?" asks Lady Philosophy, speaking as Fortune herself. "Inconstancy is my very nature. This is my game. I spin my wheel and find pleasure in raising the low to the high and lowering the high to the low. Fortune's wheel, constantly turning, elevating some while casting down others, became one of Western literature's most powerful metaphors. Boethius reveals that attachment to external goods makes us vulnerable to fortune's inevitable changes. The wealthy become enslaved to possessions. The powerful live in fear. Fame extends briefly across a tiny portion of earth, and physical pleasures bring anxiety in pursuit and remorse afterward. When we place our well-being in things beyond our control, we surrender peace to fortune's wheel. The remedy isn't regaining what was lost, but recognizing that true happiness never resided in external goods. Real freedom begins when we loosen our grip on these temporary gifts that create anxiety, demand constant maintenance, and quickly fade." People pursue happiness through contradictory paths, wealth, fame, power, or pleasure, yet these fragmented pursuits undermine each other. Those chasing wealth sacrifice power and pleasure. Those pursuing fame expend wealth and neglect joy. Boethius discovers that humans actually seek 5 interconnected qualities: self-sufficiency, power to accomplish one's will, respect, enduring reputation, and pleasure without regret. These aren't separate goods, but aspects of a single perfect good. When these qualities are sought separately, philosophy explains, they cannot deliver what they promise. Only when united can they provide what all humans seek. This perfect good is identical with God Himself. Like streams flowing from a single spring, all partial goods derive from the supreme good. True happiness consists in possessing this unchangeable good that circumstances cannot take away. Our deepest fulfillment comes from aligning ourselves with the unchanging order underlying reality, rather than chasing fragmented goods that ultimately disappoint. If God rules the world with justice, why do good people suffer while the wicked prosper? This question haunts Boethius as he faces unjust execution. Philosophy offers increasingly profound insights. She reveals that the wicked are fundamentally powerless despite appearances. They seek happiness but move further from it through evil deeds. By turning from goodness, the wicked cease to exist as they once were, corrupting their own nature. Philosophy distinguishes between providence and fate. Providence is God's unchanging plan, viewing all things simultaneously from eternity. Fate is the same plan unfolding through time as causes and effects. What seems confused to you appears perfectly arranged when viewed from Providence's perspective, philosophy explains. Events that seem chaotic in time are perfectly ordered in eternity, like a circle appearing different when viewed from its center versus its circumference. From this perspective, bad fortune serves a purpose, strengthening virtue through adversity, preventing corruption by prosperity, or setting an example. In God's economy, even apparent evil serves the ultimate good, suggesting our hardships are purposeful, even when we can't immediately discern why. If God already knows what I will choose tomorrow, how can my choice be truly free? This question forms the final philosophical challenge Boethius confronts. If divine foreknowledge is certain, and what is foreknown must happen, where is human freedom? Philosophy's solution challenges the assumption that foreknowledge imposes necessity. Knowledge depends on the knower's capacity rather than changing the object known. We perceive objects according to our nature, yet the object remains unchanged. The breakthrough comes with philosophy's definition of eternity. Not infinite duration, but complete, simultaneous, and perfect possession of everlasting life. God exists in an eternal present where past and future are simultaneously visible. From this timeless perspective, God sees our future choices as they actually occur. Just as your seeing someone walk doesn't force them to walk, philosophy explains, God's foreseeing our actions doesn't compel them. This solution preserves both divine omniscience and human freedom. God knows our choices because he sees them happening in his eternal present, not because he causes them. The consolation concludes with moral guidance to live virtuously under the eyes of an all-seeing judge, inviting alignment with cosmic order. From Boethius's journey emerge key principles. Meet fortune's extremes with equanimity, as true happiness lies beyond its reach. Recognize that apparent evils often serve hidden goods. Adversity tests virtue, while prosperity can corrupt. Exercise human freedom responsibly, knowing our choices matter. Cultivate contemplation of divine order as refuge from life's uncertainties. Through philosophical reflection, Boethius transformed his prison cell into a school of wisdom, gaining an eternal perspective. Here is the source of peace, the secure harbor, the only open refuge for the wretched, to know that all the bonds of earthly fortune are loosened. In our age of anxiety, where external success often masks inner emptiness, Boethius's message remains relevant. His distinction between false and true happiness addresses our culture's confusion about what constitutes a good life. His analysis of fortune's wheel speaks to economic volatility, while his vision of rational order suggests suffering isn't meaningless, even when incomprehensible. The Consolation became the most widely read non-religious work of the Middle Ages, influencing philosophy, literature, and spirituality for centuries. Translated by King Alfred, Chaucer, and reportedly Queen Elizabeth I, its structure and personification of philosophy shaped works from Dante to Spencer. Its enduring appeal links personal experience with universal truth. Boethius wrote not as a detached verist, but as a man facing death, seeking meaning in suffering. His journey from despair to understanding mirrors the human condition. We all face fortune's reversals and seek consolation beyond material circumstances. The Consolation presents philosophy as a practical resource for living well amid uncertainty. By turning from the temporary to the eternal, from external goods to inner virtue, we can find solace even in darkness. His wisdom, forged in a prison cell 15 centuries ago, continues to illuminate our struggles with fortune, happiness, and meaning.